Years ago, an IBM junior executive made a mistake that cost the company $3 million. IBM's founder, Thomas J. Watson Sr., summoned him into his office. Assuming the worst, the discouraged, despondent young executive said, "I guess you want my resignation." Mr. Watson replied, "You can't be serious. We just spent $3 million educating you." This executive went on to be a very profitable employee and made the company several tens of millions of dollars in profits later. Have you ever considered that you are God's employee? That you are God's employee? That God is the founder of the most important organization that ever existed up until this time now, and that is His kingdom. And that you and I are part of His management team. God is in the process of hiring, educating, developing, and training His team of workers. What we're going to do today in this sermonette is we're going to look at the investment, because that's what it is, the investment that God has made in us, and why it is important that you don't do what that young executive wanted to do, and that is that you don't resign. God has no use for quitters. So my first point is that a company makes investments in its employees. You know, God has made the ultimate investment in us. I'll tell you what that is in a minute. Consider a company that has hired someone. Maybe it's an older man, older woman, younger woman, middle age, it doesn't matter. They're going to spend a lot of time training him or her. They're going to show them how the office processes work, how the various computer programs work, how the various things they need to know work. They may even send them to technical school, her to technical school. They may spend time and effort teaching them and developing them, and they may assign other people to help them work out any kind of issues they have. They spend a lot of money on people. Companies spend a lot of money on people because employees are a great investment. They invest time, money, training, sales, and service, or whatever it happens to be. Most organizations require months and sometimes years of training and hard work of their personnel. You know, whenever I got a new job, which wasn't too many, but I always got a new job and I always had this learning curve. It took maybe 3 or 4 years before I was comfortable doing what I was doing. And sometimes there were still things I needed to learn. But God has made an investment in us, and that investment is very important. It shows you how much faith He has in us. Let's go to the book of John. John. We've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're going to look at John chapter 3 and in verse 6. Now, where it says the word world, we tend to think in big terms. You know, we often say, why doesn't God mention me? Why isn't He more specific? Well, wherever God describes something, just put your name in there. For God so loved me and you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but should have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So you know what kind of investment God has made in us? God has invested the life of His Son. That's a lot of value there. That's a big expense. God has invested His Son so that you and I, as it says here in verse 17, but that the world through Him, put your name in there, but that you and I through Jesus Christ might be saved. So, as God's employees, I'd like to ask you a question. What kind of commitment does God have in you? It's very easy. He is so committed to you that He gave His Son up as a sacrifice. Even though you and I were not worthy of the sacrifice, He made an investment in you. So God knows that we all make mistakes, but even though we were sinners, God invested his life, his son's life for us. What is the most, think of your company, our company, or one of the Fortune 500 companies. What is the most expensive item that company has? It could be proprietary knowledge, you know, computer programs. It could be people. It could be assets. It could be land. Well, Jesus Christ invested his son. What is the most valuable commodity in the universe? The most valuable commodity in the universe is the life of Jesus Christ, one of the God beings. Nothing more expensive. So God expended a lot of expense, and I'm trying to bring this into an analogy with our work. God expended a lot of expense after you were hired. Point number two, a company expects their employees to make mistakes. It's in the plan. If you're a human being and you work for a company, you're going to drop the ball sometimes. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to cost the company money. You're going to make the wrong decision. You're going to be late for that important meeting. You're going to say the wrong word. And companies usually have ways of working around that. They have a workaround. But you know what? God knows that we will all make mistakes. You and I, all of us in here, are going to make mistakes. Some of our mistakes are really big. And some of our mistakes are small. But all of us in here make big ones, and we make little ones. And I can tell you something. The next couple of weeks, you and I, all of us in here, we're going to blow it. We're going to make some big mistakes. I know people that have made large mistakes, and they didn't let that mistake hinder them. They overcame the mistake, and they're still with it. I've known people that have made small mistakes, and they are no longer with us. So it's not the mistake that you make, it's how you handle it. A company, God, expects us to make mistakes. He's got a plan for the mistakes that we have made. Christians, like junior executives, can make some very, very expensive mistakes. God knows this, and in spite of this, he has confidence in us. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to look in verse 6. This is God speaking through the Apostle Paul. This is what God says about you and me. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What it's saying in plain English, brethren, is that God the Father, through the Son Jesus Christ, is going to complete that work in us until Jesus Christ returns. That should make you realize how much God cares for you, even when you mess up, even when I mess up. God has confidence in us, and he will never give up on us. You know, I have people I manage at work, and I am confident when I send them out that what I ask them to do or what they need to do is going to get done. I don't have to babysit them. I don't have to hold their hands. That's the kind of employees that I work with. I have complete confidence in them. When you go off somewhere, do your family, does your wife, do you have confidence in how you're going to act and what you're going to do? Of course you do. God has confidence, the same kind of confidence in us, and he will never give up on us. Some of our mistakes are, including myself in this, is problems with others, problems with God, and problems with ourselves. All of your problems can be summarized in one of those three problems. Think of a problem you've had in the past. It's either a problem with others, it's either a problem you've had with God, or it's a problem you've had with yourself. So what I want you to see is that even though we are God's workers, we're God's employees, you know, workers in the field, rewarded according to your works, employees, prophets, unprofitable. Think of all those things that relate to God and our work for him. So God has confidence in us, and he will never give up on us. That's a great feeling. Point number three. Companies expect their employees to make a profit. I mean, they didn't hire you because they like you, and I don't take that out of context. The bottom line, the reason most companies will hire you is because you can make money for them. If they're in some kind of philanthropic organization, you can help them with their goals. If it's not money, it's their goals. You can help them make money or fulfill their goals. So what does that mean? That means that God expects to see a profit. God is not unreasonable to expect us to be better tomorrow than we were yesterday. He's not unreasonable. That's what my employers expect of me. That's what they would expect of you if you were working for them, and they would expect you to make them some money. So God expects to see a profit. Now, God is not dealing in dollars and cents. You know, all analogies fall apart. But God is dealing in spiritual items, spiritual qualities, spiritual essence. So God expects to see a spiritual profit. Let me put it to you in the plain old English. God expects you to spiritually grow. He expects you to spiritually grow. He expects me to spiritually grow. He has every intention of us being profitable. I have no doubt that one time in the past, God looked down at my life and he looked down at your life and he said, "This is the time to pick the fruit." Different situations for different people. And God said, "This is the best time for this person to be called." You may have doubts, but God does not have doubts. God expects us to make a profit. He expects and has every intention of us being profitable. God, our Father, our merciful Father, sees our potential. And what is that? We tend to focus on the mundane, brethren, on the mundane. My goal this week is to cut the yard. Well, yeah. How about my goal this week is to grow some spiritual muscle, or to develop spiritually, or to take care of this situation that's affecting me spiritually? You know, I'm not saying we shouldn't cut our yard, but we should not leave the other undone. So God sees our potential. And I'd like to ask you, what is the potential? What is the final product? What's the widget that God is working on? Revelation chapter 20. Don't focus on the present and the here and now and the mundane. Focus on your future. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. This should be more, the scriptures that have more meaning now that we've come back recently from the Feast of Tabernacles. 20 verse 4 of Revelation. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, would not worship the beast or his image." You can read about them in other chapters in Revelation. "And had not received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for a millennium." Verse 5. "But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years are finished." Those in verse 4, this is the first resurrection. "Blessed and holy is he who has no part, who has part in the first resurrection." He's going to be immortal. I'm not going to read you the rest of it. He's going to be a spirit being. He or she's going to be immortal. They're going to be a son of God or a child of God. So what is our ultimate destiny? It's to rule with Jesus Christ. Whether in the millennium, or whether later on after the new heavens and the new earth, and we're looking at eternity. That's what we're being trained for. Have you made costly mistakes? I have. Have you been stumbling around and seemingly wasting God's time? I've done that. Don't resign. Don't be like that executive. Don't resign, don't quit. Learn the lessons. Because there's a reason for our problems. There's a reason for them. Learn from your mistakes. Overcome the obstacles that are the part of this life's training. This will help you better serve in God's kingdom. For if you do, you can have a part in being on the ground floor of God's kingdom when it's established. How'd you like to be on the ground floor of Apple when it started 30, 40 years ago? How'd you like to have some founding stock in Google? How'd you like to have been around and been a supporter of Ford back in the early 1900s? Whew, that's what we're doing now. Exactly what we're doing now. We can be a part of being on the ground floor of God's kingdom when it is established. In other words, our potential is to be part of the family of God. We will be His children. When God brings its kingdom, that is when God's investment in you will begin to pay off. And that is when all of us in here will truly become profitable servants.